Chapter 20. Nothing unusual happened at the inquest, because the police had said that they needed more time to collect the evidence. We were all feeling more cheerful, however, because we'd heard from the hospital that Josephine was not as badly hurt as we thought, and she was getting better quickly. She wasn't allowed any visitors at the moment, not even her mother. "Particularly not her mother," murmured Sophia. "I made that quite clear to Dr. Gray. Mother would only make a big dramatic scene, which isn't good for someone who's been hit on the head." "You think of everything, don't you, darling?" I said. Aristide Leonides had been right to choose Sophia, I thought. She was already taking care of the family. After the inquest, Mr. Gateskill came back to Three Gables and made his important announcement. He read Aristide Leonides' letter and then the will itself. It was very interesting to watch. I was just sorry I couldn't watch everyone at the same time. Philip's mouth was shut tightly, and he didn't speak. Magda, however, spoke as soon as Mr. Gateskill finished. "Darling Sophia," she said, "how extraordinary, how romantic. But poor darling Roger, now he doesn't have the money to save the company. Sophia, you must help Roger." "No," said Clemency, "we don't want anything." Roger stepped forward clumsily. "We don't want any money," he said, holding Sophia's hands. "Clemency and I are going to Barbados to live a quiet life." He smiled. "But if I ever need anything, I'll ask the head of the family."
"But Roger, you can't just go bankrupt and leave the country," said Edith de Havilland. "It makes the family and Sophia look bad, as if we didn't try to help you."
Roger put his arms round his aunt and hugged her. "Aunt Edith," he said, "you are a darling, but you don't understand what Clemency and I want."
"None of you," added Clemency, annoyed, "understands Roger. You never have, and you never will. Come on, Roger."
They left the room as Mr. Gateskill pretended to sort his papers. It was clear that he deeply disliked such family dramas. When I looked at Sophia herself, she was standing up straight and her eyes were calm. She had just inherited an enormous fortune, but my first thought was that now she was alone, separate from the rest of her family. Her grandfather had believed that she was strong enough to be responsible for everyone else, but just then I felt very sorry for her.
"Congratulations, Sophia," said Mr. Gateskill. "You are a very rich woman. If you wish to discuss anything else, I'll be very happy to advise you."
"What about Roger?" insisted Edith de Havilland.
"Roger," said Mr. Gateskill quickly, "must look after himself. He's a grown man, and he'll never be a successful businessman."
He looked at Sophia.
"If you save Associated Foods from bankruptcy, Roger is the wrong man to manage it."
"I'm not going to save Associated Foods from bankruptcy," said Sophia clearly. "It would be a stupid thing to do."
Mr. Gateskill looked at her and smiled to himself. Then he said goodbye and left the family alone together. Everyone was silent for a moment before Philip stood up.
"I must get back to the library," he said. "I have wasted a lot of time."
"Father?"
Sophia spoke uncertainly. She stepped back as Philip looked at her coldly.
"I won't congratulate you," he said. "I am too shocked and humiliated that my father has ignored my lifelong devotion to him. Yes, devotion."
For the first time, his emotions broke through.
"How could he do this to me?" he exclaimed. "He was always unfair to me. Always."
"Oh, Philip," cried Edith de Havilland. "Please don't think that."
"He never cared for me,"
said Philip in a rough, low voice.
"It was always Roger. At least Father finally realized that Roger was a fool and a failure."
His handsome face was full of jealousy.
"He didn't leave Roger anything either." "What about me?" said Eustace.
I saw that Eustace was shaking with violent emotion. His face was bright red, and there were tears in his eyes.
"How could Grandfather do this to me?"
he said, his voice high and angry.
"I hate him. I'll never forgive him as long as I live. I wanted him to die. I wanted to get out of this house.
now Sophia is in charge, and I wish I was dead.
He rushed out of the room.
He has no self-control, said Edith de Havilland quietly.
I know just how Eustace feels, said Magda. The poor darling, I must go after him.
Now, Magda.
Edith hurried after her. Sophia stayed behind, looking at her father. But Philip again looked at her coldly, quite in control of himself once more.
You've managed things very cleverly, Sophia, he said, and went out of the room.
That was a cruel thing to say, I said to Sophia, holding her in my arms. Your grandfather shouldn't have done this to you.
He thought I could bear it, said Sophia. And I can. But I don't like Father and Eustace being so upset.
Your mother's all right.
But she won't like asking me for money for her new play, said Sophia.
What will you say if she does? I asked curiously. Sophia stood up very straight.
I'll say no, she said. It's a bad play, and it will be a failure. It's a waste of money.
I laughed. That's why your grandfather left everything to you, I said. You're just like him.